All right, so today we are diving deep into ancient Judah.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about why this kingdom, ended up falling apart.
Right.
And to help us with that, we're going to be looking at two different sources.
Okay, that's good.
Think like, Game of Thrones level drama, broken promises,
Oh, wow.
and just a sliver of hope in the midst of all this chaos.
That's interesting because when you think about Judah's downfall, it wasn't like a sudden thing. It was
Yeah.
more of like a gradual decline, you
Yeah,
know? They
widespread.
slowly drifted into disobedience and idol worship, and eventually that led to their destruction.
So you're saying it was kind of like a snowball effect.
Yeah, like a snowball effect,
You
exactly.
started small, but then it just kind of got bigger and bigger.
Yeah, and it's really interesting how that happened.
So for those of us who maybe haven't cracked open a history book in a while, can you give us kind of a quick recap of what was going on back then?
Sure. So we're talking about the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel had already fallen, and Judah, the southern kingdom. Despite some efforts to like reform themselves, you know, they were heading down a similar path.
Oh, so they didn't learn from their neighbors' mistakes.
No, not really. And what's really crazy is that they had like five different kings.
F king.
Yeah, five different kings in a very short period of time.
Wow, that's a lot of turnover.
Right. And all but one of them were considered to be bad rulers.
Oh, wow. So it was kind of like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, it was like musical chairs, but with crowns and a whole lot of bad decisions.
So it sounds like there was a lot of instability going on.
Oh, yeah, for
And it
sure.
makes you wonder how they were even supposed to stay true to their faith amidst all that chaos.
Right. It's a good question. And, they weren't just passively ignoring God's laws,
Oh,
they were
no.
actively embracing the gods of their neighbors.
Really?
Yeah, so imagine a society where people are worshiping different deities side by side.
That's kind of hard to wrap your head around.
It is, isn't it? And it makes you wonder, how do we stay grounded in our own beliefs when we're constantly exposed to so many different worldviews?
Yeah, I mean, it's like that old saying, if everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you do it too?
Right.
But in this case, it's more like if everyone else is worshiping a different God, do you start to question your own faith?
Yeah, it really makes you think about the importance of your own convictions. And, it's important to remember that this wasn't just some abstract theological debate for the people of Judah.
Right, they were dealing with some real-world problems.
Exactly. They're facing real-world problems like droughts and famines.
So they were struggling to survive.
Yeah, they were. And some people probably felt like they had to try something new.
Like maybe their God wasn't cutting it.
Right. Maybe those other gods had some answers that their own god wasn't providing.
So they were kind of desperate for solutions.
They were, and that desperation led them to turn away from their own god.
And what were they hoping to gain by worshiping these other gods?
Maybe they thought these foreign deities held power over things like the weather and the harvests.
I see. So they were looking for a quick fix.
Yeah, they were looking for a way to escape the hardships they were facing.
So basically, they were hedging their bets, thinking, well, it can't hurt to try, right?
Exactly.
And this is where we meet a pretty important figure in this story, Jeremiah the prophet.
Right, Jeremiah.
So God chose Jeremiah to warn Judah about what was going to happen if they kept going down this path.
He did.
He was kind of like that friend who tries to tell you you're making a huge mistake.
Yeah, but you just don't want to listen.
But nobody listened.
Nobody wants to hear it.
So Jeremiah was like the voice of reason trying to like pull them back from the edge.
Yeah, he was trying to steer them in the right direction.
But did anyone listen to him?
Sadly, not really.
So he was basically shouting into the void.
Pretty much. Can you imagine how frustrating that must have been?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be like yelling fire in a crowded theater and no one believes you.
Exactly. Except in this case, the fire was real.
And it was coming for them.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The same year that Jeremiah started prophesying all this doom and gloom, guess who became the king of Babylon?
Oh, I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, it wasn't someone known for his peaceful diplomacy.
Let me guess, it was Nebuchadnezzar.
You got it. Nebuchadnezzar, a powerful and ambitious ruler.
So it was almost like the universe was trying to send them a message.
Yeah, like a giant cosmic billboard flashing, turn back now.
But they didn't listen.
No, they didn't. Even with all these warning signs, they still believed that God wouldn't let them be destroyed.
Wow, talk about denial.
Right. It's like they thought, well, we're God's chosen people. He won't let us down.
So they had this kind of like misplaced sense of security.
Yeah,
All
like a
right.
kid who thinks they can get away with anything because their parents always bailed them out.
And what did they do? Did they just sit back and wait for the inevitable?
Actually, no, they tried to come up with their own solutions.
Really?
Yeah, they even tried to form alliances with Egypt.
So they were trying to find any solution, except turning back to the one who could actually help them.
It seems that way.
So they were playing a dangerous game, putting their trust in all the wrong places.
Yeah, they were.
Did they manage to pull it off? So they thought they could outsmart fate, huh?
Well, you know what they say, pride comes before a fall.
Yeah.
And ignoring all those warnings, well, it definitely had some serious consequences.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Jeremiah predicted Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians.
Oh, boy.
They weren't exactly known for being gentle.
Yikes.
They didn't just politely ask Judah to surrender.
More like a hostile takeover?
More like a complete demolition.
Oh, wow.
They just swept through Judah, destroying everything, temples, cities, homes.
Jeez.
And then came the exile 70 years.
70 years.
Yeah. They were uprooted from their homeland, completely separated from everything they knew.
That's a long time to be away from home.
It is, and it wasn't just about being physically uprooted either.
Right.
It was a complete breakdown of their relationship with God.
So they lost everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, that's a pretty harsh punishment.
It is.
Why do you think God was so angry with them?
Well, you have to understand, God's anger wasn't random.
Okay.
It came from a deep sense of betrayal.
Oh, I see.
Judah had essentially said, "We'll worship whoever we want, but you still have to protect us."
It's a pretty bold statement.
It was a blatant disregard for their covenant with God.
So it was like they were trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, and that usually doesn't work out too well.
But in the middle of all this destruction and despair, there's a glimmer of hope, right?
Yes, there is.
Jeremiah's message, it takes a turn.
It does.
Not all doom and gloom.
Not at all.
There's more to it than just Judah messed up. God got mad. End of story.
Way more.
So what's the rest of the story?
Well, Jeremiah, he also emphasized God's enduring love, his willingness to forgive.
Okay.
And most importantly, the promise of a new covenant.
A new covenant.
Yes.
So God wasn't giving up on them completely?
No, not at all.
He was offering them a second chance.
More than a second chance, it was a fresh start, a chance to hit the reset button.
Wow. So what did this new covenant entail?
Well, the old covenant, it was all about external laws, rituals.
Right.
You know, etched in stone tablets.
Mm.
But this new covenant,
yeah,
this was about something much deeper.
Okay.
It was about a radical inward change.
A change of heart.
A complete transformation from the inside out.
So instead of do this, don't do that.
Right.
It was more about become this kind of person.
Exactly. Yeah. It was about becoming the kind of people who naturally lived in alignment with God's will.
Okay. So how are they supposed to make this transformation?
That's where the Holy Spirit comes into play.
Okay.
You see, under the old covenant, Judah's leaders, they were often driven by selfish ambition, pride.
Yeah.
A blatant disregard for God's law.
They weren't exactly role models.
Their hearts were hardened, you know, metaphorically speaking.
Right.
Corrupt.
So this new covenant was about replacing all that with the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. It was about having desires that aligned with God's will.
I see.
About living a life characterized by love, compassion, and obedience.
Oh.
Not out of fear of punishment, but out of genuine love for God.
It's like upgrading your phone's operating system.
Right.
It's not just a cosmetic change. It's a fundamental shift in how the device functions.
That's a great way to put it.
And this idea of a heart transformation,
mm-hmm.
it really resonates with something we see in the sources about Judah's downfall.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they mentioned that their idolatry wasn't just about bowing down to statues.
Mm-hmm.
It was about putting other things above God.
Like what?
Like power, wealth, security.
Hmm.
And that's something we can all relate to even today. No, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, we may not be building altars to golden calves.
For sure.
But we all struggle with putting other things before God sometimes.
We do.
We have our own false gods in the 21st century.
We do.
So the story of Judah, it's not just some ancient history lesson.
Right.
It's a reflection of our own potential to stray from what really matters.
That's a good point.
But thankfully,
mm-hmm.
it's not just a story of failure and punishment.
Right.
It's also a story of hope and redemption. So tell me more about that.
Well, okay.
This new covenant, this change of heart.
Yeah.
How did it all play out? Okay, so we've talked about how Judah's story, it was kind of like a mirror, right?
Yeah.
Reflecting our own struggles.
Mm-hmm.
We get so caught up in the rat race.
Yeah.
That sometimes we lose sight of, you know, what's really important.
Absolutely.
But this new covenant, this promise of a transformed heart.
Yeah.
How did it actually, you know, how did it come together?
Well, this is where things get really mind-blowing.
Okay.
This new covenant, it wasn't just some vague idea.
Right.
Some hopeful wish for a better future.
Okay.
It found its fulfillment in A person.
A person.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ.
Wow. So this wasn't just about abstract concepts. This was about a real historical figure.
Exactly. And not just any historical figure. This was the promised Messiah.
Oh, the descendant of King David. The one who would usher in a new era of hope and redemption.
So this idea of a new covenant, this promise of a transformed heart, it all hinges on Jesus.
It does, through his life, death, and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus paved the way for this radical change.
I see.
He became the bridge between humanity and God,
okay,
offering us a way to experience that deep internal transformation that Jeremiah talked about.
So he took this ancient promise.
Yeah.
And he made it real. He made it tangible.
Exactly. He breathed life into it.
So this new covenant,
yeah,
it's not just for a specific group of people.
No.
It's for everyone.
Absolutely. It's a universal offer of hope.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
But changing your heart,
mm-hmm. That
sounds like a pretty tall order.
It can be.
Where do you even begin?
It starts with surrender.
Surrender.
Yeah, letting go of our ego, our selfish desires, our need to control everything.
So it's about humility?
Yes. Recognizing that we're not the center of the universe.
And it's about trust too, right?
Exactly. Trusting that God has our best interests at heart.
Even when we don't understand.
Even when it's hard.
Yeah, because sometimes life throws us some pretty big curveballs.
It does.
So how do we learn to trust like that?
Well, it's a journey.
Okay.
It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
But the key is to stay connected to God.
Right.
To keep communication open, you know, through prayer.
Yeah.
Through reading scripture, through spending time in nature.
So it's like building a relationship.
Exactly.
Just like we would with any other person.
It takes time, effort, and a willingness to be vulnerable.
And what are some of the rewards of that?
Well, imagine a life filled with peace, joy, and purpose.
Okay.
Imagine experiencing a deep sense of connection to God and to others.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine having the strength to face challenges with courage and hope.
That sounds pretty amazing.
It is.
But it also sounds kind of idealistic.
Yeah.
I mean, is that really possible?
Well, it's not always easy. But the beauty of this new covenant is that it's not dependent on our circumstances.
Yeah.
It's about an internal transformation that can't be touched by external forces.
I see.
It's about having a foundation of hope that can't be shaken by the storms of life.
So even when everything's falling apart around us,
yeah,
we can still have that inner peace.
Exactly. We can still have that sense of knowing that we're not alone.
Wow.
And that's a powerful truth to hold on to.
It is.
Especially in the world we live in today.
Well, this has been an incredible journey.
It has.
Exploring, you know, the depths of Judah's downfall.
Yeah.
And then the transformative power of this new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me realize that, you know, we're not so different from those ancient people.
We're not.
We all face temptations.
Wrong
we up. All make mistakes.
You do.
But we also have access to this incredible gift.
Yeah.
Of grace and forgiveness.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that no matter how far we've strayed,
mm-hmm.
no matter how messed up we think we are, God is always there waiting to welcome us back.
He is.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's one thing you hope our listeners will take away from this conversation?
I'd say don't be afraid to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the things that are holding you back.
Okay.
The fears, the doubts, the need to control.
Yeah.
Step into the freedom and fullness of life that God offers through the new covenant.
That's a beautiful thought.
It's a journey worth taking.
It is. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive, everyone.
It's my pleasure.
Until next time, keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep.